Hello and welcome back. We are in Darmstadt for Microsoft Technical Summit 2016. We have some awesome content. If you are tuning in from the East Coast of the United States, you are in for a treat. We have some cool stuff starting right now. Tell us who you are and what you do. We'll start with you.
So my name is Lillian. I am a technical evangelist from the UK, and I focus on the bot framework and cognitive services.
Bot framework and cognitive services.
So actually kind of the same here, but I'm working as a technical evangelist in Germany, so DX Germany. And I'm also focusing on conversation as a platform.
Fantastic. So if you were to say to people watching what conversation as a platform is, how would you describe it in general? So we'll start with you, Lillian, and then she will correct you if you're wrong. I'm pretty excited.
That's a good idea. Okay. Well, actually, that's a tough question because it's a lot of things. It's about having three main actors of digital assistants like Cortana or Siri. It's about having the human interface, which is basically yourself, and using human language. And then we also have the actual bot itself, which is basically just something that completes a task. So being able to combine these three things together, being able to use natural language to have conversations and understand users' intentions and their sentiment and all this important stuff, bringing it all together and putting it in one application and having that available across different messaging platforms gives you this whole conversation as a platform.
Awesome.
Yeah so Lillian is right. When I think about it, it's also about all about the natural interaction aspect and also reaching the users there where they spend most of their time on messaging platforms. When I think about it, like, I really WhatsApp a lot, I use Facebook Messenger a lot. I mean, why not? Why not use it also for reserving or booking a table at a restaurant?
So, okay. One of the problems that I see is that sometimes people have a hard time separating the bot framework from the intelligence part. Are they the same thing? Are they different things? Should we think of them separately? What do you think? We'll start with you, Nico.
You should think about them separately. Okay. The framework is a framework, like the title says. And if you want to add intelligence to your bot, you need cognitive services, for instance, to do that. So the bot framework is more like a connector also. You can use it to publish your bot on different channels, like the Facebook Messenger or Telegram. And if you want your bot really to, you know, to be intelligent, to have an AI, then you can use cognitive services.
Would it be fair to say, Lillian, that you can have a bot without intelligence?
Definitely.
Are there a lot of those?
There should be. I mean, people seem to mistake the bot as an AI. Bots are not AI. And that's a huge message we need to get out there because people think they're the same thing. But you can actually have applications that just do a complete task. That's exactly what a bot is. It's something that completes a task. So people can start maybe building help desk applications that can answer your questions, like frequently asked questions, and even hand you over to a human. And all of this doesn't require any intelligence at all. So people need to start maybe separating the two, as Nico was saying.
So you're saying, like when I think of a help desk application, I'm thinking there's got to be some smarts in there.
Well, you could add smarts to it, but you don't have to. You can actually use Azure Search, which doesn't require any intelligence. You don't need Lewis. You can actually code it yourself so that it goes down the correct flow so that you can have a conversation.
And that's really interesting because now that I'm thinking about it, like, everyone has access to a messaging platform, whether it be WhatsApp, whether it be Facebook, whether it be Skype, for example. You're saying that if we put some of the stuff that we want to look for, we could, for example, have Skype be a glorified search engine for us across many things.
It could be.
And that's not necessarily an intelligent bot.
No.
Okay.
Oh, if you think about the Azure bot, that's not an intelligent bot. That's just command line.
Yeah. I love it. Okay.
It's also kind of like apps. It's just a new kind of apps.
Yeah, it's
so
a new interface.
They can be very intelligent or they might not be, but they still can be useful.
So let's do this. Let's first start with intelligence. And then we'll work our way back to the bot framework and what it is that you can do with
Sounds
that.
Good.
Because I think that leads us to a good bridge of, okay, what is intelligence and how can we access it programmatically with the stuff that we have? So, Nico.
Yeah, so I guess a good starting point would be the website from Microsoft.com/cognitive.
Okay.
Here we present our cognitive services APIs. There are in total like 23 APIs. Very easy to use. These are REST APIs. We also have SDKs. We provide SDKs for certain platforms. And we have five main categories: vision, speech, language, knowledge, and search. And you can use them out of the box. So basically, you don't need a PhD in computer science, in machine learning expertise, or anything similar. You can just use them, do a REST call, get a JSON back, and work with it, for instance.
So that sounds really easy. But my question to you is, like, what what are cognitive services? Just a set of tasks that have already been machine learning tasks that have been already solved that we're using via API, or what else? What else are they?
Yeah, so it's basically tasks like computer vision. You know, okay. That's like a classical problem, let's say a challenge. Where before you needed to do a lot of algorithms and so on, and now you can just use this API, and you can, for instance, upload a picture, and then you'll get a JSON back with description, with text, and the description is really good. It's like here, for instance, a man riding a skateboard, so you really get natural language back.
I see.
Yeah.
So if you're working on something, let's just take the bot equation out of it. If you're working with images and you're, for example, creating, I don't know, a place where you're storing images, you can use Cognitive Services Vision API to do what?
For instance, to tag your images.
Oh, I see.
Or to use face detection, maybe. I don't know. It depends on the use case.
But I see. So if I want to, for example, I have a bunch of pictures and I want to be able to classify them with like my kids versus the parents, then what I would do is I would send it to the Vision API, send the image, and it would tell me what's in the picture and I could sort them by that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is great. Yeah, and we have different APIs. I also really like the custom recognition API, CRIS short, which helps us enhance the speech recognition system, because sometimes people have particular scenarios, like, for instance, building an app which is which users will use in an airport. So we have a lot of background noise, and this is a way to still understand what the user is saying. So you can do it. I even have a sample here.
All right, let's do it.
Let's try this one.
So this is going to say something, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you take your mic off, you take it off, and then put it right near your speaker.
Sound. Right here.
Yeah, there we go.
Is there a meal served at this place?
Oh. Is there a meal served at this place?
Yes. Well, the internet is not very good, so we didn't get any good answers.
Okay.
But
so what is this supposed to be doing?
So it's actually supposed to compare the speech recognition API with CRIS, and we can see that here in this case, actually the speech recognition API did just fine. But if you have like more like an airline name or something like that, CRIS would do better because we trained CRIS with exactly this kind of language.
Oh, so Microsoft has trained speech recognition. But there might be certain phrases or words that are custom to your particular domain, and that would be CRIS that does that. So how do you train CRIS?
So you actually have to just like provide a lot of data, a lot of language data. First of all, language, because you have, like in this case, airport names or airline names. And then second, an acoustic model. So you need to train CRIS to understand the like background noise or, for instance, if a child is speaking, children have a different voice than adults.
Sure.
So you can make it work better with these scenarios.
So is this, you're literally like talking into a microphone and then writing what it said, what you said, and then giving it to CRIS? Is that what you're doing, or what does this look like?
We're using the Bing Speech API and then sending what the text to speech, the speech to text understood to CRIS, and then receiving back enhanced result.
Essentially, you're doing exactly what you said. You're speaking to a mic and then tagging it, and then tagging the different categories and the keywords and the entities so that Chris can understand it.
I see. And so, because there's going to be words that you might use at your office that nobody else uses.
Exactly.
Or there's certain words, like, I don't know, Groupon is not a normal word. So you might be able to train Chris to do that.
That's
awesome. And so, in this case, what would this have to do with a bot?
So maybe you have a bot, like in this case, this was like a travel planning app. Maybe people want to know more about flight information using a bot and just typing it speaking to it.
Right.
Speaking to it would make sense.
Yeah. So in scenarios where you don't have a screen or a keyboard or a mouse, it might be better to use speech.
Yeah.
So if you have this bot that's running an application on every kiosk in an airport, this would come in handy because you'd want people to understand, you'd want the computer to understand what people are saying, even though there's background noise.
So if I'm understanding this right, Cognitive Services then provides a series of intelligence APIs with some baselines of things that Microsoft has already trained with the mounds of data that they have.
Yeah.
We saw stuff for vision and we saw stuff for speech. You were going to say something, sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to say it's also like a really high quality because it's the same technology that we are using for our own products.
I see. So we have vision, we have speech. What other things do we have?
Recommendations is pretty cool.
Recommendations is cool, that's true. So we also have knowledge, and one of these APIs is the recommendations API, which you can use to engage your customers with your with the product and, you know, increase sales maybe. Yeah,
so for example, on Amazon, when you buy something, it's like, oh, you bought this, what about this item?
Sure.
You can do item-to-item kind of recommendations, or you can do personal recommendations where you have a user and you understand their history and what they've bought before and what's on their wish list, and then start making recommendations based off that data.
So that, to me, sounds super awesome. But as a programmer, I'm thinking, okay, how do I code that up? You're saying there's an API. What do you give this API?
You have to give it your own data. So there's a bunch of different data they have to provide, such as a catalog of your products, and then all the, you know, purchase history and user data and all that information. Once you provide it all the data, the model will train itself. So we've done all the hard work of writing the algorithms and training the models. You just have to provide the data. And
that's super cool, right? Because I might already have my data in
Azure.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
That's fine. That's exactly it. And then after that, you get an endpoint at the end. You have an API, which you can then use to get your information, so recommendation information.
So every time someone buys or puts some in their cart, you can just say, hey, API, what else can what else can I see?
Exactly.
That's awesome. Any other things that are pretty cool in there? There's one that I've heard of, and I wanted to get your take on it. It's called Lewis, and I've heard this one a lot. What is that one all about?
Yeah, so Lewis is great. It stands for Language Understanding Intelligence Service. And you can use it to integrate natural language processing in your bot, for instance. So maybe I can show the UI.
Let's do it.
So Lewis is all about understanding intentions of a user. So what does the user want? What do they need? What the intention when they're using your application?
From freeform text.
Exactly. Okay, so when I say something, whether it's speech or text, you pass in this phrase to Lewis. And then from there, Lewis will tell you what the intention of that phrase is. And then you can start extracting entities from that phrase as well. So that's the variables you can use in your code.
Imagine if you want to order a pizza. I mean, the bot could ask you, like, what kind of pizza do you want? What size? What toppings?
But then it's like command line.
Yeah. Or you can just, like, say it once, like, hey, I would like a pizza with these toppings and so on. And you say just one sentence, but Lewis understands what the entities are inside the sentence.
I see. And so intents are what someone wants to do or happen. And entities are the things that sort of describe that intent.
Yeah. Okay. So there are different variables that you can find. So the color could be an intention. Sorry, an entity. Or the pizza toppings would be an entity.
I see. And so, how does it know this? Like, is there
magic? It's magic.
Come on, we're programmers, people.
It's machine learning. I mean, it's, you know, it's, again, it's a model that's already been trained by us, and you just have to provide it the input. So you give it as many. Well, actually, you kind of have to train it yourself, but we've done the groundwork for you. So you give it in loads of different phrases, whether it be 100 phrases or 10 phrases. Then you have to label each phrase, and then you have to mark the entities in each phrase. And once you've trained the model, it'll learn by itself every time you give it a new phrase.
So what if it, because I've done this kind of thing, like, like I've called the thing, and it's something similar, but it's listening to me, and it's like, I did not understand. What happens when it doesn't understand? Is there a way to, like, make it better?
So what happens is the API would return a score next to each intent it thinks it is.
I see.
And if it doesn't understand, you can go back in and then label it yourself to say, okay, I see that you got this one wrong, but this is a real intention. And then you feed that back into the model and to learn from it.
So that way, if it's, you can actually get it, make it be smarter over time.
Yep.
Nico, it looks like you pulled it up.
Yeah, so this is the user interface, and here is something I already created, event Lewis model. So you can ask him about events, future events. So for instance, I can say, when is the next, Azure conference? And I type it in, and it will recognize, because I already trained the model, that the intent is to get the date, and the entities are Azure and conference. Azure is the event name, and conference is the event type. And then I can submit it. I mean, you can always learn more.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool. Like, can you put something in there that it wouldn't recognize, or is there stuff that it hasn't recognized that you can mark up?
So
if you review the labels, you can see where it's made mistakes, or you can see your previous predictions.
See, yours is super smart already, right? And so this is going to show everything that's come in.
That was labeled, So I have also this welcome thing, like, hey, because people, you know, want to talk to the bot and they don't really know what to type, so they're like, hi, or
that's
hey there.
Really smart.
It's important to give your bot's personality as well.
Sure.
You want to make it as human as possible. You don't want it to be a robotic.
But we don't want it to be creepy.
Oh, well.
of course not.
Just see it, right, at the same time. So this is something you would use in, for example, the bot framework. So what we've done is we've gone through a lot of the cognitive services, mm-hmm. which is intelligence. Mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily have to be in your bot. But now let's go back to the bot framework and talk about how we can sort of take these services and make your bots more intelligent.
Okay, so with the bot framework, essentially it's just a web service. Mm-hmm. You can build it in C# or in Node. That's what's available at the moment. But it's open source. So if you want to expose it to another language, that's completely up to you, and you can totally do that. So once you've built your web service, you can then, it uses a connector which basically translates the messages coming to your web service into the format of the channels you're using. So if you're using Facebook, it'll convert the message into that format, so it works with Facebook.
I see.
If it's Skype, it'll convert it to that format, so it works with Skype.
So that's also on the way in too,
exactly.
right?
It's both ways.
Yeah. Are you just implementing a method that gets the text and then you do stuff with it?
So you're listening to API/messages. You're listening to that endpoint, mm-hmm. and all the messages will go through there. All the user messages will go through.
So which is just a route handler,
exactly.
if you're using MEC, for example, for an API. And so when you get that, are you just getting the text, or is there other information that
you
you're
get doing? Other information such as a user ID, mm-hmm. and you also get the user's name. If the channel supports that, you also get information about which channel that you're getting the message from. So you can have a conversation between Skype and Facebook Messenger, and you can tell in the message handle that it's this one's coming from Skype and this one's coming from Messenger. And you get also a bunch of other information. It's too much to list, really.
So how do I, and this is because I've seen some of these things.
Right.
How do we make it so that, because look, I can go and load up PowerShell and tell PowerShell to do stuff, right? And it's like I'm talking to it, but I'm talking to it in a very specific language.
Right.
I've seen implementations in the bot framework where it's effectively degraded into, well, you could have just done that in PowerShell. Why would I use the bot framework? And what more could I do to make it a little bit better than just that?
So not everyone's a developer. Not everyone's going to be in PowerShell.
Sure.
And you want to use natural language. So you want to be able to build something that people every day can have a conversation with. So first of all, that's natural language. And nothing to do with just click, click, next.
Sure.
The second thing is you can integrate Lewis to give it that more natural feel.
Got it.
But you don't always need to. Yeah. And a really important point about the bot framework is that users actually like that whole click, click, next thing. People like to press buttons. No one wants to type anything out. No one wants to try and make you guess what they want.
Sure.
If you give them options through buttons, actually they will prefer that like 9 times out of 10.
Really?
So it's actually okay to have that kind of interface. But to avoid it, just make sure that you have a real scenario. If your bot's not going to be useful to yourself or your company, why are you making one in the first place? And then the second point is to make sure that you design the flows. So it's not just a developer's job. You need to hire copywriters. You need to hire business analysts to understand your business inside out and the flow so that you can start presenting users with the correct information in the correct order so that it makes sense.
And that's interesting because now we're thinking of a conversation UI, so to speak, of like the flow of what's going on and how can people break out. And so you got to think in terms of state machines of a conversation. And
pretty much.
Sometimes you just got to be like, what the heck are you talking about? Right? Yeah. And that's okay too. Nico, you want to say something?
I also wanted to say like the bot framework makes life much easier for developers as well. I mean, you have these buttons, all these templates, and you can just use them out of the box. Mm-hmm. And you can connect it at the end with so many different channels. So that's also a big advantage.
Essentially, bots are apps. So anything that an app can do, a bot can do. It's just agnostic. It can be available on any platform.
Got it.
And it's where users are. Everyone's using messaging applications, so you're going to your users.
So here's another question. What bots have you seen that you're like, oh, that's kind of a cool bot? Mm-hmm. What are some bots that you've seen implemented that you think, wow, I didn't think of that? Just to get people interested, not necessarily interested, but more like to get their, their new technology comes out.
Yeah.
That's so radically different, but not. And you're trying to think of what can I do with this? How can I make this a little bit better? What say you about that? Is that kind of a...
Yeah. So I don't know, for instance, the Skyscanner bot, I think it's pretty helpful because sometimes I'm interested, like how much would a flight to Rome cost me? Mm. But I'm on the way somewhere in the subway and I just want to check it out and then I can just ask on Skype, Skyscanner, let's see.
It saves you from having to download the application itself, especially only if you're going to use it only once. An example I'd like to give is something I've been working on with a team, in our spare time, called the Charity Bot.
Right.
And it allows you to find a charity. We worked on this together last week.
And so, you didn't bring this up? I mean, this is how much he thinks of your project.
How dare you?
Dang it, Nico.
How dare you?
Come on.
And essentially, it's about helping you find a charity to support. And, you know, it asks you a few questions. It uses Azure Search. It doesn't use Lewis. Because we want to be able to search this database of charities, asking you important questions that will help you decide where you should give your money if you're interested in doing that. And you can even search for existing charities and just donate straight away.
So it's actually like a friend giving you advice on what donation.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's interesting. And so now, is there a lot of interest in bots, or is it right now just to like, oh, that's kind of cool, but we wouldn't. Tell me about the interest level.
It's a huge interest. Everyone I've spoken to keeps asking me about it. I mean, we did a session about cognitive services, and all the questions I got at the end were about the bot framework. So it's actually really, really big right now, and loads of companies are starting to get involved with building these applications, these bots. And what we've been doing is we've been working with partners all the time who constantly come to us and say, hey, we've got this idea, can you help us implement it? And we've had to turn people away because that's how many companies are turning up to say, help us make a bot.
So we only have about 60 seconds left. Tell me, where can people go to learn more about the bot framework? We didn't really get to that.
So bot framework, go to dev.botframework.com.
Look, she's already got it like bookmarked and stuff on the quick search. So dev.botframework.com, and that's where you can get started to
everything.
Make. Awesome. Well, any final words?
Also, please check the bot directory. There are lots of funny bots there.
funny and useful, I hope.
And useful as well. But
people can make bots and put them up here too?
Yeah, it's like an app store for bots.
Oh, well, this has been awesome. Thanks so much,
thank you very much.
For spending some time with us. We have been learning all about cognitive services and the bot framework so you can make your own bot. I want to see your bot as soon as possible. Thanks so much for watching, and we'll see you on the flip side.